I'm old man Strum, a retired pastor. This young fellow up here is serving where I was baptized and confirmed. Stone Bank, Wisconsin. I served in Iowa and Wisconsin. In the last 10 years, I was with the ALC staff for stewardship. The last 4 years, I was with the Iowa district staff for stewardship and evangelism and installing pastors and things like that. So we had some Iowa people here. I also worked with United Mission Appeal, and you were one of the directors, I think. Real happy to be here. I took my young wife on a trip. She's over there.
Raise your hand.
There she is. Anyway, before we left, somebody said, you know, you're going to have a nicer trip than if you went to Norway. And I said, oh, the Holy Land of the North? No way you'd be going to Norway. But, you know, we did go through Glacier and up to Banff and Lake Louise and over to Vancouver and Victoria, then took my wife fishing, the bush. But I'm coming here, it's really something. I went to school with Carol at the seminary, and I'm sorry he isn't here because I thought I could spend 2 or 3 days straightening the guy out. Others have tried and failed. He isn't here, but I have to tell you a story about him. I had a dream about him one night, and I dreamt I was going to heaven. I met St. Peter, and he says, well, Strum, he says, we know that heaven is gained by the sacrifice of Christ, but he says, I think you ought to do a little more repenting. I said, well, I think that's right. So he gave me a big piece of chalk, and he says, now, as you're climbing up to heaven in this ladder, and you don't have to be afraid of getting dizzy, you write one sin on each one. Well, so I started up, and I got up quite a ways, and holding on and writing, and somebody stepped in my hand. And I looked up and here was Carol. I said, hey, where are you going? He says, I'm going down to get more chalk. Some of you around here will have to tell that. But coming here, really, I've heard about it since the conception, 1963, read about it, and had people come out from my parishes out here, and daughter and son-in-law come out. But to come here is really something. My, and some of you folks who are nearby can come once in a while. That's beautiful. We had to come 2,000 miles. But it's so beautiful to get here. God's creation. And then to have people like I, Zorb, was with him, and hearing Zorb this morning and last night. Man, what a fantastic man. And you're going to be around to hear Norsted. How many can hear Norsted for the next 2 days? Oh, well, congratulations to Ken here. He's got 3 lectures on death and dying. Just fantastic. And to get people like that here, the importance of being here. Well, I'm just going to have a few things this morning on something that people think is very dry. Will. 49% of the members of the American Lutheran Church, when I saw them, quite a few here for the American Lutheran Church, and I don't think any Missouri or LC are any different. 49% have not made out a will. 49% of the people in the ALC have not made out a will, according to a recent statistic. For instance, the famous Hughes will, Howard Hughes will, if and when they can unravel it, all the people who will inherit the money will probably be dead before it's unraveled, right? Mm-hmm. Most lawyers will tell you, I don't think all of them tell you, but before that's finished, you know, and goes through court and everything, there'll be nothing left, or else they'll be dead. An average man spends 80,000 hours during a lifetime to accumulate some wealth. A house, a farm, some stock, 80,000 hours a lifetime. And he can't spend 1 hour talking about a will. And I've been working part-time this last the last year on wills with people. I've got one lady that isn't married. She's 83 years old, has two farms. Well, all I asked her was for one farm permission. Not two of them. But you know, she hasn't made out a will. And one time I come and she's ready to make it out. And another time she says, well, I got to wait and think about it. Now, the tragic thing is, the biggest piece of money she's given away, or rather not given away, pardon me, but spent, is a monument on the cemetery for $16,000. For herself and her sister. $16,000. The one farm is worth maybe it's a quarter of a section that isn't large, but it's worth $1,800 an acre, which is a couple of dollars. I didn't ask her for that one. I asked her for the one worth $1,500 an acre to give to mission. You see, my will can be my last thank you to God for his blessing. And 49% of our ALC members have never made out a will. Now, in the ALC, American Lutheran Church, we get over $2 million a year for missions and wills with hardly any work at it. If I go out and visit people, and if I couldn't visit with quite definite of $100,000 to $200,000 in wills, I wouldn't go out the front door. There's that kind of many people who are waiting to be talked to about how should I distribute the things that God owns. I don't own the thing, but so many are uptight. They don't like to talk about a will. Like one fellow says, well, he says, I suppose it's kind of final when I make out my will. So he hasn't made out his will. He's in his 80s. He doesn't like his relatives. I didn't say, Ray, you know, give it to the Lord. But I said, you know, your relatives are going to get it if you don't make out a will. Well, you know, he thinks that his wife may, well, most wives outlive men anyway, you know, by four and a half years. So my wife will outlive me by 20, is it? No, not quite. But anyway, she's younger than I am. But anyway, so many people don't want to think about it because it's sort of final. Now, let me give you something about will, just quickly today. And some of this stuff has to do with Iowa. It may not have to do with your state, but most of it will. Now, a will has been defined as an instrument executed by a competent person in the manner prescribed by statute, by law, whereby he makes disposition of his property while he still has got his mind going to take effect after he dies. A maker may revoke the will at any time during his lifetime. I can change my will. My wife and I have changed our will. You can change it by writing a will in which it states that the former will is revoked. An intestate is one who dies without leaving a valid will. And 49% of our ALC members die without leaving a valid will. And so it goes through court. The money's eaten up. And if I had time to explain to you the tax advantages, and I suppose there might be some insurance people around here, of making out a will and leaving part of your possessions to the church, or to Holden Village, or to mission. We had a farmer and his wife up in Iowa who asked to see us, and we sent, Dr. Mr. Swarzy, who was in charge of our Wills Foundation, and Nelson, who was treasurer of our church, a fantastic layman. They spent 1 hour with the couple. They said, well, we got two farms. We have one son. We think that leaving one farm to him is enough. So they said, how do we leave one farm to the church? Well, it didn't take long to tell them how. 1 hour spent with them. 2 years later, the church got a check for $200,000 from the couple, from the estate. Both died within 2 years, okay? That could support a missionary at that time for 14 years in their memory, okay? I'm really, you know, when I sit down with an older person or young people or our children, the youngest is 30 or whatever, They've made out wills. They made out wills the month they got married. You know. The average person has an estate of around $65,000. They said, we haven't got much. But you know, when it ends up all totaled, they do have quite a bit. A will has no binding effect during the lifetime of the testator. That's what we have to tell them. They say, well, now we make out a will, we can't do anything. It doesn't take effect until you're dead. The will is intended and does operate only by reason of the testator's death. Thus, an instrument like this takes care of how you want your property disposed of. Who may make a will? A person. Does not include a partnership or business or whatever. Subject to the rights of the surviving spouse to elect to take their statutory rights or against the will, any person full age and sound mind may dispose by will of all his property except sufficient to pay his debts and charges against his estate like burial and so forth. Okay? Full age means 18 years of age in Iowa. I don't know what dozen years.
21.
21, some places?
18 in Washington.
18 in Washington, okay. Well, I've got quite a few other things on wills here, but mm-hmm. Effect of divorce. If after making a will the testator is divorced, all provisions of the will in favor of the testator's spouse so divorced are thereby revoked. So, gal, don't divorce your husband. Expect to get a loot when he dies. Arlene, remember that. Okay, the formalities of execution may differ from state to state. The requirements given here are these from the state of Iowa. A will executed outside the state of Iowa, in the manner prescribed by the law of that state, will be deemed legally executed in another state, okay? All right, the will must be in writing. It must be signed by the testator or by some person in his presence and by his express direction, writing his name thereto. C, and declared by the testator to be his will and witnessed by two competent persons. Now that is very important. Any person 16 years of age or over who is competent to be a witness may act as a witness, okay? Revocation of the will. Destruction. Don't sign more than one copy. Don't sign two copies, a lawyer's told us. It may be revoked by execution of a subsequent will. Or see a document canceling a former will witnessed in the same manner as the making of the new will. Should you deposit your last will and testament? Yes, you should. In a place where it cannot be destroyed. Sometimes the lawyer or the attorney who drew it is custodian. In our case, that's right. We have a copy in a small safe in our house. The children know where it is. Some put it in a lockbox in a bank. If an attorney has been custodian, he must, by law, bring attention to the will as soon as he knows of the death. Will is not effective in Iowa. Holographic in handwriting of the testator is not legal unless he has two witnesses. Oral wills are not legal in the state of Iowa. Someone says, well, he told me that he was going to do this and that. Custodian of the will must deliver to the court having jurisdiction immediately upon being informed of the death of the testator. There are penalties attached for not doing so. What makes up your estate? Real property, your home, your farm, your business. Personal property, cash, bank accounts, bonds, stocks, household goods and furnishings, personal effects, farm and business equipment, land being sold on contract to others and so forth. Life insurance contracts, special assets such as partnership interests, Social Security benefits and so forth. Form of property ownership, I won't go into that. Who should have a will? Traditional arguments, or should one have a will? They say we own everything jointly, husband and wife. We do not have to have a will. That is not right. The survivor may also die before he or she has a chance to make a will, then what? I'm going to give everything away anyway. You may very well need it all yourself, with rising medical costs too. In making a will, in case you need the money, now some say, well, Pastor Strum, I don't want to make a will because I'll need it all. Well, if you make a will, you can use it all. It doesn't take effect till you're gone. And some of these fine old people can't see that if they do need it, it's there to be used. But if I make a will, I decide where it's going to go, not the court or some administrator. I don't have much. Well, some of the smallest estates must be probated. And it costs to have it probated. My husband already has a will. A husband's will does not provide for the distribution of the wife's estate. No way can that be done. My wife will get everything anyway, not if she has children, since the interstate law makes provision for the children. We've had wives who ought to receive the entire estate because she needed it. Well, she only got part of it because there was no will. It went to the children who did not need it. Some tragic cases where the widow was left with very little. The kids will get everything anyway. But even if they do, no spouse, some of them may be minors whose interests are better protected by trust. Then they say, wills cost money and fatten up the lawyers. Well, I agree that, you know, that the lawyers, in many cases, eat a lot of the estate. However, a will is not expensive. The time a will is expensive is when you go to a lawyer and he's got to spend days trying to help you make up your mind where it's going to go and find out your property and all of that stuff. If you go to a lawyer, and I've talked to lawyers about this, with everything listed and your mind made up, you can have the whole will drawn in an hour or 45 minutes. But if he's got to spend a day or two checking on this and that for you, it costs money. Considerable savings may result from provisions of will, giving power of sale of real estate and so forth. Attorney fees after death are generally the same whether you have a will or not. So I think, you know, a lot of people say it costs money. In many cases, it costs $25, $50, $100 to make a will. A will governs the distribution of individually owned property only, not joint property. Bear in mind also, you cannot disinherit a spouse by a will, since he or she has an election of to take which is given him or her in the will, or to take his or her dower right. Do existing wills need changing? Yes, a will should be reviewed from time to time. And I don't have to go into that. Well, now, about making a will. I visited, well, I've worked with this partly in my ministry, but the last year I worked part-time with the ALC in wills. Many people are interested in leaving something to an institution like Luther College or Luther Seminary. Some want to leave part of their estate to supporting a missionary. That seems to be the greatest area where people want to leave $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000. But we found in the United Mission Appeal, how many are former ALC members around here? Oh, man. Couple. Well, okay. We had the United Mission Appeal, UMA. When we had the life program in the ALC 10 years ago, some said, well, when are you going to have something for missions? A big program. So now we had it this last year, or 2 years ago, and you folks were involved. Our signed goal in Iowa was $2 million for missions. 50% goes to world missions, 50% to American missions. They said, oh, $2 million. Our committee sat down, the district committee, and said, hey, let's have a goal of $3 million and not tell them about $2 million. They were lay people, too. What happened? We raised $4,300,000 with very little work because people are interested in missions. My category was major gifts, and I spent some time. I went to one man, asked him for $25,000, and I found out that, you know, I should have asked him for more because I read in the paper where he'd given $300,000 to Iowa State, a new building, athletic complex. So I went down, I said, you know, I told Bruno, and he said, the district president, he said, you're crazy. You can't go back and ask him for 50. I says, I'm going to. So I went back, and I said, Ralph, I made a mistake. And I gave him the pitch, and I said, you ought to give $50,000 to you and me. Blessings to you. Remember the church in your will. My last bit of it. Holden Village, too. But anyway, I went back, and I said, I made a mistake. Now, this isn't the way to, you know, do things. And I visited with him in his farm home. He was a farmer and had a bad year. And I said, finally gave him the pledge card. And he said, why don't you make this out? And I got to go back to Decor tonight. It's 185 miles, and I quit driving fast. I decided three reasons. One, the speed limit is low. Second, the Lord took care of me long enough, and that's going to help. Anyway, so he went out and made his card. He came back, and I put it in my phone and said, thanks a lot. I didn't want to look at it. When I went to the driveway, I nearly hit the ditch by taking out this card out of my pocket to see what it was. It was $50,000. Well, anyway, he was interested in missions, you see. Now, I feel that something like this, I don't care where you think of leaving something for the Lord, but I want to say that, for instance, Holden Village, too, is important. I feel that Holden Village could get $500,000 a year in wills, and nobody ever would feel it. There's that kind of money in the estates of our people. What's happened is, in Iowa, these fine people have lived, they're 80 years old now, the farm they paid $50 an acre for, okay? All of a sudden, it's worth $1,800 an acre. They'll never spend another dime. They won't come to Holden Village. Too bad. It really is. They will. So what happens? They've got $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in their estate. All goes to relatives. Now, I love relatives. I think they're great. But one of our men said that putting money into your relatives alone in the estate is like putting money in a holy bag. Water in a holy bag. It runs out pretty quickly. And when I leave something to the Lord, 10 years after I'm gone, 20 years after I'm gone, 2 years after I'm gone, the work of the Lord is enhanced because I don't earn, well, if Arnie Sorb was here, he'd use some pretty strong language on this. I don't own a cotton-picking thing. I don't own a thing. If I did, I could take it with me. God owns everything. And you know, the more I see of the world, the third world, and what they're suffering and going through, the more bad conscience I have of even coming to a place like this. Because, you know, when I stand before God, I've got to... when is this done? 7:30, I guess. When I stand before God, I've got to answer to my stewardship. The average person in the American Lutheran Church gave less than 2% of his adjusted gross income last year to the work of the Lord. Less than 2%. Now that's the average. Remember? There are people giving 10% and 15%, and when I get to a church and I have stewardship programs, and I say, how many of you got giving nothing? Well, I don't know. I want a record of that. So we find out that 30% didn't give a dime to the church last year. Another 35% gave a dollar a week, you know. The average was 2% of their adjusted gross income. I believe in the tithe, 10%. Not legally, But because I think that's the least I can share with the Lord, 10%. And we got more people with small incomes giving 10% than people with large incomes. 10%. 10% for the work of the Lord and 90% for myself. That's a good deal. And in my if you're tithers, I don't give 10% to the local church. We probably give 6% to the local church. The rest we give to other things. You know, you give something to many things every month, I'm sure. But if you take a tithe out and set it aside, in the will, I think it should be less than a tithe. For many, it should be 25 to 50%. And also, I would like to say, don't give it to the local church. Some, fine. I served parishes where we didn't know what to do with the money because it was a memorial until we got smart and gave it all to missions. First, then we used missionary. They want something in the church that they can see. That is for the birds. That's very selfish. So we had money on hand we couldn't spend because it had to be in the local church. Is that we're quitting?
No.
I got a couple more minutes. I'll take a few more minutes. You know, giving it to the local church, a large sum can hurt. We have a church in Western Iowa where they got a gift of $350,000 from a lady. You know what happened? The giving went down like this. They said, "We got money." Well, nobody can give in my place. Nobody can pray in my place. Nobody can go to communion in my place. You know, it took about 6 years to get over that. We had to go in and help with programs to get their giving up because they said we got all this money. Then he finally got smart this last year and gave the rest of it, $125,000, left to United Mission Appeal. They don't have it. I had an office in a church in Decorah. We had three Lutheran churches there. A little old lady left the town about 30 years ago. Didn't know she was late. Went to St. Paul. She died about 6 or 7 years ago. Left her whole estate to the church. $700,000. And you know, the pastor was scared to death. The people were scared to death. Some of them. Others were joyful. Church of 1800 getting $700,000. It was contested by a couple nieces. They settled. I don't know. I think they've gotten $500,000. However, the congregation voted. I nearly cried when I heard about it. They voted to not use any of the money for local expenses. For missions. The interest for missions. They gave $25,000 United Mission Field. They used it for education. So, but it didn't really hurt this church. I think it hurt some people in the church, but as a whole, they've handled it very well. So I say, giving to the local church, you've got to use very good judgment. I think it's very important to give it to support a missionary. The local church gets credit for it. To support an institution, I feel very strongly that Holden Village ought to benefit by a lot of people who come here, and they do. They've got to raise, what is it, $130,000 outside of what we pay in. And I suppose sometimes it's tough, but you see, we're such an affluent nation. All of us are affluent people, whether we got $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $50,000, and God owns it. How am I using it? How am I going to distribute it? Should I give it all to my children? Should I give part of it to World Mission Prayer League or whatever you want? I feel that it's important for you and I as a Christian to distribute our money, our estate, when we're living. And as I say, 49% of our ALC members have not made a will. Now, just in closing, before I have ask you for questions, why do I give? I do not give because there's a need. That isn't my number one. My number one reason is not because somebody needs money that I give. My number one reason to give is because I need to give. If I belong to a church in First Lutheran Decorah and somebody gave it $1 million, there is no bearing upon my giving. I need to give. I need to share. And if you don't feel the need to share, you better start praying about your attitude toward money. It's a tough topic. Marion Martin, one night before she's going on the stage to good to see you, Goody. No. Go. You go. I was going to say goodbye.
Go on.
I'm sorry. Said the wrong thing. Anyway, Marion Martin, before she was going on the stage to sing a role in South Pacific, but when she was getting ready that night, somebody came to her with a note. And usually an artist does not read some notes sent up to them before they go on the stage. They read them afterwards. But somehow she was led to, she said, I got to open this. It was from Oscar Hammerstein, who wrote the lyrics for South Pacific, a good friend of hers, and he was dying. And this is what he wrote her. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love is not till you give it away. That night, after the concert, some came to Miss Martin and said, you know, we never heard you sing like this before. And she says, tonight, for the first time, I tried to give my love away in my song. Love doesn't happen until I give it away. I say I love my daughter, doesn't mean a thing until I give her my love. I say I love my wife, it doesn't mean a thing until I give her my love. I say I love the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't mean a cotton picking thing until I give him my love. Love doesn't happen till I give it away. You know? And when I give it away that way, man, that's living. Really is. And I feel so sorry for these people. And I worked with them for 10 years, maybe too long, in the church on stewardship, that are so uptight when we talk about money. So uptight when we talk about will. Why I feel sorry for them. Because I'm going to have to stand before God someday and give account for my lousy stewardship. And I got to ask forgiveness for it. Now, I can't say, Lord, I tithed it. I gave a tithe. Maybe that wasn't enough. So I hope in your thinking about your stewardship, you think about your will. Maybe you think about rewriting it. In light of saying, God, you know, what do you want me to do? It belongs to you. You know, should I leave something to a missionary support, Holden Village, a college, whatever. You know, you've got your favorite charity. But do it when you're mentally alert, when you can decide for yourself. Okay, any questions now on wills that I could answer? This is really a dry subject for a lot of people. I'm glad you all came out. Yeah, well, there's about five of them here.
I just ran into this recently. It's not directly related to you, but here this fellow named Ali Grimm, then comes along a friend and says, he promised me this. And I'm wondering if he gets enough witnesses, now he can get all these witnesses as to who's living, how far can he get?
I think the court will throw it out.
Yeah.
And in some cases where there's been a great need of a wife or something, or children, and it hasn't been taken care of, the court will decide. But an oral will is, you can make an oral will by somebody writing it down, and there's witnesses in. Now, by the way, this will that was drawn up in St. Paul that Decor Lutheran got, it was contested because she made another will out, and she had made another will out to these nieces, including the nieces. But the witness went in and signed it at the nurse's table, not at the bed. And the court threw it out. They had a trial on it. She had made another will out, which cut the nieces in more, but it was invalid because one of the witnesses was not there. She testified that she really did sign it in the nurse's station. Well, the church said, well, let's give them some money. And so they, I don't know what they gave them, hundreds or $150,000. So that, but I'm really uptight about the fact that 49% of our ALC members have never made a will out. Incredible.
for that time.
We would have the, like, made one, and then made another one, and then the same. It's always the latest date anyway. Right?
Yes, yeah.
Has the church ever considered doing something like this? They could be almost gimmicky, but where the church could actually hire a lawyer or several lawyers to actually go around and make up wills for people free?
Yeah. The a lot of our Christian lawyers, we found out that in the car, the lawyer said, well, by the way, would you want to remember the church in your will? But there are not too many of them. Yes, a lawyer has to draw it up, and I think, the lawyer has to be in the state. For instance, I was asked to be administrative in the state of my wife's aunt in Texas, and I couldn't.
You used to be that way in this state until a couple of years ago.
The
administrator, even a relative, had to be living in this state. This fellow was living in California.
Yeah.
The oldest son couldn't have it. The younger sister became
that changed now? Has it
been? Yes, it's the same just within the last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then
you
can name it that before another state, but you have to have an agent in the state.
All right, yeah.
But
I feel very strongly that we've got so many people in our local congregations who have no children or who are not married who could really embellish the work of the Lord with, say, 50% of the state for missions. I'm going to go back and visit with some that I know of for Holden Village in their will. No way. I mean, I think I'm doing them a favor. First of all, before Holden Village. But you see, we have so many people with so much money, and I'm talking about, I think, all states, but Iowa. You see, our land value has just gone off the orbit. And these people will not take a trip like you will, you know? And spend some money like this couple coming from Iowa. Farmers. And they're smart enough to come up here, you know? Serious enough to want to, right? But you see, a lot of the people that I visit with will know, you know, they'll never go out of the state of Iowa. So I say, well, why don't you leave 50% to the Lord in thanksgiving to Him for His blessings? You get through to some, and some you do not. You can't go. You gotta get their confidence before you can do this.
The 49% figure you quoted for the reason, would that be about the one for the population? In general.
I don't know.
Do they have any records?
I don't know. I would think that maybe the Lutherans ought to be better in their stewardship. I think there's less than that in population. But even 49% is a very high figure. Now, how do we get? We take polls. We have retirement conferences throughout the church. When you get 55 and I'm going on. The only one who doesn't like me to say I'm going on 67 is my twin sister. George, don't tell him I'm your twin. Great gal. But anyway. But you see, we have these retirement conferences, and in the conferences of the district talking about will, and then we take polls. That's fairly authentic. Yeah. But you see, there are so many people who could say thank you to God by just signing their name and saying 50%. I think it's good to divide it 10%, 10%, or whatever. Some say, well, you see, in supporting a missionary, you know, a missionary support now to Japan is around $30,000 a year, family. And I sure like to tangle with the people say, well, we better quit because it's so expensive. Well, they don't quit eating steak because it jumped, you know, 50% in the last 5 years. But so we've had to cut back on some mission work because of inflation. Because people have not kept up with their giving. I feel the honest way to give, if there's such a thing as honest, is at least 10%, not legalistically, but prayerfully to the Lord's work. And some give 15, but when you say 2%, a little less than 2%, and this is a spendable income, this is after taxes, the Holy Alphine, pretty tense. And I think judgment, you know, is going to be on what, not what I did do, but what I didn't do. I think that, and there has to be a lot of forgiveness with that, but the things that I could do that I didn't do, witnessing to my neighbors, or having a chance to help someone, giving a cold drink of water, bringing a stewardship is praying for somebody. It's breaking some rules to bring into somebody that's forgotten. It's a lot of things, but it's also giving money. And it's at the point of giving money that people kind of get up tight and they grow.
Life income comes back.
Yes. Well, you know, you can. These people can give, like we're working with one lady now who's selling a farm. She's 65. We will take her farm. 50% will go to Luther College and 50% to the American Lutheran Church. Her farm is worth maybe $200,000. We'll give her two or three appraisals. We'll give her $200,000 if they appraise it, and we'll give her 7% for life. We'll give her income for life, 7% for life. You can do this. You can do this to Holden Village, too. Then when you die, the whole amount goes to the church. We'll give them income for life. And we have a lot of that going on in colleges in the ALC. We'll take that money and use it to support a new American Mission Church, okay? So I'm working with American Mission Church part-time as a retired pastor in Iowa. And so we will loan that money to an American Mission Church for 8%. They have a little caring charge. They'll have to pay 9 otherwise, but they couldn't get the money. So you can income for life. This lady at 83 will give her 10% for life because of her longevity is not that great. I think 70%, 70 years, age of 70, you'll get 8%. It goes on. So there's income for life. So we'll take this farm, and she doesn't have to worry about stuff. She doesn't have to pay income tax on it. Boy, would she get clobbered. Because the farm was probably increased in value 400%. Capital gain would be terrible. So she gives it to the church. She doesn't have to pay income tax on selling it, okay? Uncle Sam is very generous. She also gets an income tax deduction for 6 years of $60,000 or $70,000 because she has some other income. For 6 years, she can claim income tax deduction on her gift to the church. Oh, man. We figured out where, people can give away $50,000 and it costs them three because of income tax. Uncle Sam is very... We don't like to push this angle too much because I don't give because of income tax. But I consider that I give more because of income tax. It's double what I give because. So there's life income. This is a huge deal, and I just touched base on it a little bit. I'm glad you brought that up.
Inheritance tax, too.
Inheritance tax? Is deductible,
sure.
On giving to them? 10% of it, 25% of the church or the mission.
How does ALC revenue break it down?
ALCW?
Mm-hmm.
To ALC, to the American Lutheran Church.
Yeah, you know what
Yeah, if you gave it to the church, it'd go to the whole program of the church. In other words, so much to World Mission, so much to American Mission, so much to seminaries, so much to homes and the whole. So a lot of them do that. The church, used to have a lot of farms out west, and they sold them. They're not in the farming business. They had them for years, and they found out that they weren't as smart as the farmers who were running them. And so when we get a farm now, we dispose of it within, as soon as the contract is legal, they might be rented out for a year and have to hold it a year. So it goes to the church. You don't have to specify. And I suppose many of them do not specify. We find a lot who do, though. And I'm interested in talking to some of those on the staff here at Holden Village to at least talk about a will in literature to our people. to sow the seed. Yes.
Mr. Bacala made an interesting comment, now you had made, right? Maybe all of you have heard it before. He said, if you are at the point where you trust Christ with your life, you're at that point where you really trust Christ for your salvation, then you really ought to be able to trust Him with a percentage of your income.
Yeah, beautiful. That's great.
And I just, and this is the kind of guy I just about fell over when he said it, because he had just really grown. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, do you see any possibilities coming in a distance where we have the Lebanese and we have Metal and Mary and somebody that if they start to soak up a lot of income, because they're real small really, but where there might be a reaction among the people that this benefit that the people have to get into the church might be taken away from us through some domination.
Yeah, I think that's very real. Uncle Sam has been really, the moon thing now for government is, he's going to hurt a lot of giving. And a lot of them, through some of the radio programs and other have misused it. In fact, if you knew what percentage of the money you give to different causes and use for expenses, 70% or 60% or 80%, you'd be sick. And I don't want to talk about that. But the ALC costs about 4% for running the church, and it's fantastic. When you give $100 to the church, you know it's going to go to missions. But we have so many benefits. Your statement about when you can trust Christ, when I get lay people to participate, they make me look sick. But your statement there is beautiful in the closing statement. When you can trust Christ with your life, you can trust Him with. Well, thanks. You've been a good audience. Blessings to all of you. We'll see you tonight.